The scripture reading today, we are the fourth and final Sunday dealing with the parable of the soils, the sower and the soils. And I'm going to read the portion that you see there from the Gospel of Matthew, and then I'm going to read the parallel portion from the Gospel of Luke, because there's a word there I want us to take some time to look to in our sermon this morning. The larger portion that you see there in your bulletin is what Mark will address in the 9:30 and the 11 o'clock services in his message there. So listen as I read the very end of the parable from these two synoptic gospels. It's first from Matthew. But as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. And then listen as I read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. As for what was fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. The reading of the word of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. We've talked about this parable and said a whole lot more about it than we probably really knew to say about it. This has been a wonderful study these 4 weeks in this parable. One, because it was a very extensive parable that Jesus gave, but also we have the benefit of Jesus' own interpretation of it. And that's what we find here at the very end of the lengthy passage. Jesus gives his interpretation of his own parable. You recall to his disciples, he had said that it was given to them to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. It was not given to everyone. He had also reminded them that you must have ears to hear and eyes to see spiritual truth. Last week we talked about the bearing of the fruit, the fruitfulness, and we noted that the 100-fold and 60-fold and 30-fold was quite a large harvest. It's interesting to me that in the scriptures, when fruitfulness is spoken of, bearing fruit, there are two pictures that are in the forefront. One is the bearing of the fruit of the field, the grain, the harvest of the grain, the wheat, the barley, the oats, the grain harvest. The other is the harvest of the orchard or the vineyard, where the vine yields its fruit. It's interesting to me that the fruit of the field will become grain, which will become bread. Christ uses this over and over, especially in feeding of the 5,000, to emphasize that he is the bread of life. And the other metaphor, that of the vine and the vineyard, the fruit of the vine, the grape, which yields its abundant fruit that then's made into the wine. And Christ, especially in his first miracle at Cana of Galilee, turning the water into wine, was showing us of the abundance of the blood, the sufficiency of his atoning blood to atone for our sins. Isn't it interesting that fruit is both the bread and the wine? That's for free. That's just something I thought of as I was studying. I just said, this is interesting. That's not the sermon. Here's the sermon. The sermon is one word. It's the last word that appears there in the parallel passage in Luke chapter 8. As for those in the good soil, they are those who hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. with patience. If you'll permit me for a few moments, I would like to lay aside the mantle of preacher, if I've ever had it at all, and be just a teacher for a moment. This word is a word that's used in Scripture with very significant import. The word that's translated patience here is the word hupomone. Hupomone. It's one of the words that go in that family of meno, which means to remain, to stay in place, to stand against opposition, to stand fast, to stand still, to tarry. It's the word that's used when Jesus said, "Abide in me," as a branch abides in the vine. It means to stay in force. It means to bear, to undergo. But the word that's used to translate it most often in the ESV is the word endurance. Here it's translated patience, but it's the word endurance. It is the word that gives us two concepts in English. One is the idea of a mainstay, that is an anchor. And then the other is the word to remain, to remain. What is being put forward here by the Lord is an interesting idea. He's saying that that bearing fruit and having the fruitful life is a matter of endurance. Jesus said late in the Gospel of Luke, by endurance, by this word here, this very word, hupomone, by endurance you will gain your soul. By endurance you will gain your soul. The Christian life is a distance run, not a sprint. I recall a couple of years ago, we were privileged in this church to have interns that come and serve a year's time with us and gain experience and get their credentials of an internship to be ordained in the PCA. And it's my privilege to work with these interns during the year that they're here. And a couple of years ago, we had one of the interns was from Yale Divinity School. By way of Yale, he came originally from Southern California. And he loved to jog. He would run on the beach when he was younger. And so when I found out he liked to run, I said, "Let's run together sometime." So finally one afternoon, we had a chance and some time where we'd run. Well, I live about 3 blocks that way, and he lives about 5 blocks that way, just north of our office building. And it was a beautiful afternoon, and we were going to run the Katy Trail. And I left my apartment and loosened up a little bit and began to kind of jog along and come up the hill from Turtle Creek. And by the time I got to Oak Lawn, I was feeling good. And so I kicked in a sprint all across here, and I thought maybe somebody at the church will see me and I'll look good running. And so I sprinted across these 2 or 3 blocks here, and then finally made it up to his house where he was sitting there on the porch ready to jog, waiting on me. And I was winded, breathless. And I told him, I said, "I'm ready to go. Let's go. It feels good." And we took off and went down this way to go toward the Katy Trail up Armstrong. And I couldn't hardly run. I was winded. And we got out on the trail, and here I am, the old man that's going to show him what kind of condition. I've been running for nearly 30 years, and I need to show, and I can't hardly draw a breath. And I gasped and wheezed and moaned and sputtered through our entire 2-mile run, 2 or 3 times stopping to catch my breath. It was a run that I'd made many times, and it's a quite easy run, actually, just a couple of 3 miles up and down the trail. It's really not that much to it, if I had paced it right. But because I had taken off so quickly, I had exhausted myself and I never was able to recover in that run. And that's the way I'm afraid that a lot of us have lived our Christian life. We've started off well. We felt good. But we thought it was a sprint. And in very short time, we had burned out, exhausted and exasperated ourselves. And many things, the scripture suggests, several things have come to literally choke us, to take our breath away, to take our wind away. And so we sputter and stumble and maybe even stop our race for the end. And the Bible is very clear that the Christian life is a life of a distance run, a marathon. The Old Testament parallel to this word hupomone, is the word that is translated wait on the Lord. It's unmistakable. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's it. That's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to walk and not faint. He doesn't want us to exhaust and exasperate ourselves. The Christian life is a life of endurance. This word is used in the New Testament for some interesting context. One, it means bearing pains by the wounded. Endurance is bearing pains. Do we have wounds? Do we have setbacks? Do we stumble? Do we fall? Are we assailed in the Christian life? Are we attacked? Are some of our wounds self-inflicted? But it's bearing up under these wounds. Healing takes time. The healing of a bone takes a set number of weeks depending upon your age. The healing of a wound takes time. The healing of emotional wounds take a lot more time. But it is endurance. It's that patient endurance. It's that running without fainting. This word is also used in the context of heroism in the face of opposition. Do we have opposition in the Christian life? Are people and circumstances out to encourage us in our walk of faith? No. No. They that live godly in Christ Jesus suffer persecution. And we have persecutions that come our way. We have assaults from the enemy. We have assaults from our own flesh. And there are constant opportunities for us to flag and to be let down in our Christian life. This word is also used in context to successfully resist. There's a certain enduring of hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, as Paul admonishes young Timothy. The living of the Christian life is difficult. And none of us are going to score a perfect score. And the Christian life is a life of starting over, of repenting, of getting up, dusting off. It's a life of wiping away tears. It's a life of preaching and hearing the gospel to ourselves. Each day hearing the gospel that Christ has run the race and fought the battle and won the victory, and that we're His and that we're in Him. This is a word that is one of the key words of our doctrine of perseverance of the saints. The saints persevere, and they persevere. One of the ways they persevere is they've been instructed, they've been admonished that this is a long haul. That the Christian life is a long haul. It's a marathon and not a sprint. It's interesting that Paul, in his letter, when he was admonishing the saints at Rome, has this interesting verses in chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That ought to be enough right there. Through Him, we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Hupomone. And that endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And Paul not only was not the only one, the writer of Hebrews also admonishes us in that extremely familiar passage in chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance. That's that word again. The race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. That's that word again. That's what Jesus did in our salvation. He endured. He persevered. He stood fast. He stayed in place. He remained. He stayed. He fought a battle. He persisted. He resisted. That's how our salvation was wrought, was by the endurance of Jesus. And He calls us to follow in His footsteps and to do that which He did. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. How many times have we watched an athletic contest, a football game or a basketball game, and we've seen one team just sort of coast out to a nice lead in the first and second quarter and may enjoy a good lead at halftime and look like they're going to continue it on through the remainder of the game. And then something happens. The defense begins to break down. There's a turnover here and there. There's just a little bit of a relaxation on the part of somebody. There's a miscue here and a miscue there. And the next thing you know, the other team has caught up. What do we say about the team that loses a lead after starting so well? We say they choked. They choked. That's what the Lord is admonishing us. Don't choke. Don't be choked. Keep the long view. Keep the perspective. Run if you can, but run as one who will gain the prize someday. Jesus ran the race because He knew that as He endured, there was a place that He was going to eventually sit down. He was going to sit at the right hand of the throne of God. We can run the race knowing that eventually there's some place we'll be able to sit down. We'll be able to sit down at a banquet. At the end of the race, there is a feast. This is just a foretaste of it. There's a marriage supper. Run the race. Do as Christ says. By endurance, you will gain your souls. What is our key passage in the perseverance of the saints? Jesus said, "The one that endures to the end shall be saved."